presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
6-4 calling control tower. 6-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower, back to CX4. Wind southeast, ceiling 1200. All clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in.
Yes, it's America's ace of the airways, coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
The air age is here, gang. We all know that. And in this age, something that's up to par one day may be old and out of date the next. It's the same with planes. A speed or altitude record may be out of date almost before it's been put down on the record books. And because America wants to keep ahead in the air, we're working day and night to make better, faster, and safer planes. Designers are dreaming up slick new models, planes which will be able to smash through the sonic barrier, which will have to carry jet or rocket motors, and therefore must be strong and, at the same time, light. Part of the work of turning out new ships has to be done in the laboratory. No, not the kind full of gases and all kinds of strange glass tubes with white-coated chemists running around, but an engineering research laboratory, chock full of plane parts, engines, and all kinds of electrical equipment. You have to have trained engineers and mechanics to run things. Men who can take an engine apart in a jiffy and find out what's wrong with it. It's this type of man who works in Lockheed's Air Research Lab. Back in 1939, Lockheed opened the first complete laboratory in the aircraft industry and sank millions of dollars into it in men and machines. All during the war, their trained technicians tested and experimented, and when things didn't work out, they kept at it until they succeeded. Now their job is to work on the development of large transports like the Constellation and Constitution. In just a few minutes, I'll be back to tell you more about the exciting work done in Lockheed's laboratory, so don't forget to listen. And now to our story. The strange and puzzling riddle of the ghostly Avengers is moving to a rapid conclusion as Hop and Tank, now in possession of almost all the facts, go into action to trap the man trying to ruin the Ace Flying Service. There are three suspects, Bert Craig, Vinnie Stevens, and Paul Conroy, all partners in the airline. And as we continue now, Inspector Fry of the New Orleans Detective Bureau has appeared on the field, apparently ready to make an arrest. A massive DC-4 transport is on the apron in front of the Ace hangar, loaded and ready for a final cargo flight north to Kansas City. The inspector turns to Hop, Tank, Craig, and Paul, and informs them in level, measured tones.
We're all going to make that flight tonight, Harrigan. You and Tinker will be at the controls. Mr. Craig and Mr. Conroy, you both will come along.
Well, how about the other partner, Vinny?
Mr. Stevens will make the trip also.
Now, just a minute, Inspector. This isn't a joyride, you know.
I don't intend it to be a joyride, Mr. Craig. Now, how soon can we take off?
Inspector, I can't leave the office. There won't be anyone here to handle the calls.
What calls?
Well,
there won't be any, Bert, and you know it. We're washed up.
I still don't see why I have to make the flight.
Because I'm asking you to.
Suppose I refuse. You can't force me.
I'm sorry, but I can. And I will, if necessary.
Hey, Bert, what difference does it make? Come on.
Now, for the last time, are we ready to take off?
Yes, anytime.
Oh, Inspector.
Oh, yes, Harrigan.
There's Vinny Stevens just coming out of the plane.
Oh, good, good. Mr. Stevens.
Huh? Oh, hello, Inspector. Is this a conference?
Your plane ready to leave?
Yes, I was just going over to call the crew.
Oh, don't bother. Harrigan and Tinker will fly the ship.
Oh? And we're going along for the ride, Vinny. What?
Yes, Mr. Stevens. All of us are going.
Oh, no. Not me.
Why not?
You're not getting me aboard that ship.
You haven't answered my question. Why not?
It's heading north. It'll fly right over the spot where we saw the ghost plane.
So?
Maybe you didn't hear what happened to me. I was lucky I got out in one piece. I'm not taking any more chances.
I'm afraid you'll have to.
Oh, no. Not me.
Mr. Stevens, you'll come along if I have to handcuff you and put you under arrest.
Arrest? On what charge?
Murder.
But
will you
can't...
go aboard willingly, Mr. Stevens?
Come on, Vinny. You can't buck the law.
Gosh, Paul, I'm scared. Honest, I am.
I'm sorry. Now, shall we get aboard?
Well, in a minute. I've got to go back to the office and tell the guys they're not going out.
I'll do it, Vinny. I have to get their charts anyway.
I'd better go with you and see if there are any messages.
No, don't bother, Mr. Craig. We'll go right aboard.
But I have...
We'll go right aboard.
Come on, Bert. There's no sense arguing.
Thank you. Come with me. I'll meet you on the plane, Inspector.
All right. Now, gentlemen, if you please,
Inspector Fry gestures politely toward the open hatch of the waiting DC-4. The three partners hesitate, then, with reluctance, step forward and board the plane. The inspector follows, smiling in satisfaction. And a few minutes later, when Hoff and Tank reappear with the necessary charts for the flight, they start the engines and taxi out to the runway.
Yeah. You think this is going to work?
It's got to work.
Vinny and Craig don't look too happy.
What about Paul?
He looks like he lost his last friend. Honest, Hop, I don't think he's got anything to do with this.
Maybe not. Heads up, we're at the runway. Magneto checks in.
Ready.
Call him off.
One okay. Two okay. Three okay. Four okay.
Right. Tower from Ace Flight 37, over.
Ace 37 from Tower, over.
Request permission to take off, over.
You are cleared for takeoff. Wind east 12. Two DC-4s in landing pattern. Make right turn at 800 feet in break pattern. Over.
Roger, out. Okay, back there, hang on tight. We're ready to take off.
Go ahead, Harrigan.
Here we go, Tank.
Lady Lux, stick close. I got a feeling we'll need you bad.
Manipulating the controls easily and skillfully, Hop swings the giant transport onto the runway, then, with throttles wide open, roars down the floodlit strip of concrete into the night sky. The last flight of the ACE flying service has begun. An hour and a half later, Hop checks in with the radio range station at Little Rock, and then swings the ship westward over dark, desolate flatlands, where the ghost planes have always kept their deadly rendezvous. 10 minutes pass. Then, at Hop's signal, Inspector Fry comes forward.
How's everything going, Harrigan?
About as well as can be expected, sir. Any reaction back there?
No, they're all pretty quiet, but they're starting to get edgy.
Do they suspect where they are?
I don't know. We're almost over the spot where the ghost planes always show up.
I see.
I guess I'd better start laying the cards on the table.
I guess so. Call them up here.
Mr. Stevens.
Mr. Craig. You come up here, please. And you too, Mr. Conroy.
All right.
Very good, Inspector. I'll try my best. Hope it works out.
Here they come.
Listen, Inspector, when is this comedy going to stop? You forced us to come with you, wasting our time, and so far nothing's happened.
Do you want anything to happen, Mr. Craig?
I want to know what this is all about.
Fine. We'll begin at the beginning.
Excuse me a minute, Inspector.
Oh, sure.
Harrigan, where are we?
West of Little Rock, Benny.
Little Rock?
What's the matter, Mr. Stevens?
The ghost planes. This is where they show up.
Ghost planes? Very interesting. I'd like to see one.
Inspector, you don't know what you're saying. Make Harrigan turn back. Make him turn back before it's too late.
I'm afraid I can't.
Harrigan, please turn back, please.
Benny, this ship is scheduled for Kansas City. I can't turn back.
But you know what happened to the last plane? It crashed, and we'll crash too.
What makes you so sure?
I know. I just know. Harrigan, please, I beg you, turn back.
You'll hold course, Mr. Harrigan. I'd like to see if Mr. Stevens' prophecy comes true.
Listen, what are you trying to do? Drive the poor guy crazy? Can't you see he's sick?
Oh, do you want to turn back also, Mr. Craig?
Yes. I'm not anxious to get killed either.
And how do you feel about it, Mr. Conroy?
Doesn't make any difference to me. Hop knows how to fly. If there's any trouble, he'll handle it.
Well, that's quite a different viewpoint. Now let's get down to case. Cold, hard facts.
What are you talking about?
Mr. Craig, I don't know whether you realize it or not, but someone's trying to get hold of this airline.
Get hold of it?
Are you crazy?
Like a fox, Mr. Craig.
One of you is deliberately ruining the line in order to force a sale. A sale to a dummy corporation, which is really a front for your own purchase.
No, Mason's going to buy it.
Have you ever met Mason, Mr. Conroy?
No.
I have. I tracked him down this afternoon. He's in no position to buy your line or anyone else's line. He hasn't got a cent. Being paid to act as a front.
A front for whom?
That he couldn't tell me. He didn't know.
What kind of a story is...
Just let me finish it. These ghost planes are all part of the scheme to discredit the line. To drive it out of business so that the sale price would be low.
And you think one of us is doing it?
I don't think, Mr. Stevens. I know.
All right, then. If you're so positive, who is it?
That's for you to tell me. I'm waiting. All right, then. There's only one way to find out. Harrigan.
All set, Inspector. There it is, right on schedule.
There's what?
The ghost plane. Look.
Following the direction of Hop's finger, the men in the cabin stare out the window into the night sky, and there, not a mile away, glowing with a horrible greenish light, is a Japanese Zero, holding a steady course to intercept the transport. Gang, there's a lot of action and suspense ahead, so stand by. Now, gang, let's get back to Lockheed's aircraft laboratory, the first one of its kind ever built. Well, the shop is so complete you could even make a small plane just from the equipment in it. Besides that, the lab has its own wind tunnel where planes are tested under realistic conditions. In one of those tunnels, the weather and wind can be controlled from a calm atmosphere to a tornado or hurricane. Other exciting work done in the lab covers a plane from A to Z. Research on different metals is carried on to find out which one can stand the most heat. For example, on Lockheed's P-80 Shooting Star jet-propelled fighter plane, the tailpipe has to withstand a temperature of 2,200 degrees Fahrenheit. And that's enough heat to fry most anything in the world. But that metal takes the temperature over and over again and still stands up under all the heat. Next in the lab, we come to a complete section of the Navy's Lockheed Constitution transport. It's the flight engineer station, complete to the last detail. Seated at the instrument panel with all the engine throttles and controls, the flight engineer can really fly the world's largest transport while on the ground. Every switch and electrical connection does the same work as it would in flight. It's research and testing like this that has made the Constitution so successful in all its test hops. Now, walking on through the laboratory, we come to the temperature chamber, which can be heated up to 160 above zero or frozen down to 100 below, making it easy to see how well the mechanical and electrical units stand up in all temperatures. Oh, it would take days to give you a comprehensive idea of the whole operation. Everything is being done to ensure the best air equipment in the world. If you want to get in on any of this when you grow older, get set to take your place in the sky. And always remember, America needs flyers. And now, back to our story. With Paul, Vinny, Craig, and Inspector Fry aboard, Hoff and Tank are flying a DC-4 cargo transport northward toward Kansas City in a last attempt to trap the person trying to ruin the ace flying service. When suddenly Hop calls out,
There it is, right on schedule. The coast plane.
No.
It's a Jap Zero. Cutting in front of us, Hop, watch it.
Don't worry, I am.
All right, now talk. Who's behind all this?
Inspector, you're crazy. We're innocent.
Harrigan, turn around. Get away.
Back and heading straight for it.
I see ya.
Harrigan, please, it'll crash into it.
How do you know, Stephen?
That's what happened to me. Please, Harrigan.
I don't believe it. Huh? If it's a ghost, it hasn't any substance. It isn't there.
Hop, what are you saying?
I'm going to head straight for it. Hold my course.
Hop, help.
Now, murderer.
Hey, listen.
This is Soldano, killer.
Soldano? No, I can't be.
I'm coming to get you. Just like you got me.
As the ghostly voice echoes in the flight cabin, Hop bends forward in his seat and sends the mighty transport roaring ahead, straight toward the ghostly green plane, as the others in the cabin stand rooted in horror, fascinated by rapidly approaching death. Will the guilty person, the person behind the mystery, crack before it's too late? Gang, you'll find out in our next episode, so don't fail to listen. Tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. Well, on Hop, we'll see you same time, same neutral station. Harrigan is a transcribed copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.